Chapter 6, Close Encounter of the Turd Kind. 4th of July, right? Everybody goes nuts. The dads are getting drunk and having their cookouts, and the moms are trying to keep all the brats from blowing their precious little pinkies off with cherry bombs, and the kids are running wild through the backyards. It's like no rules apply, and that makes everything real edgy, if you know what I mean. Like, let's have a blast, and who cares what happens? Don't get the wrong idea. I love the 4th. It's just that people tend to get all choked up about firecracker holidays, and they don't see what's really going on, which, like I say, is the dad swilling beer and acting numb. That's the basic formula. Not that Grim ever swills anything stronger than root beer. No way. The poison never crossed his lips, he likes to say, even though I've seen a picture of him in the army, and that sure looks like a bottle of beer in his hand. And he's got that same whacked by a hammer grin that dudes always get when they're drinking. Anyhow, this is the first year I get to go to the fireworks without Grim and Graham, which I never understood, because it's right down by the mill pond where I've been allowed to go for years. So why should it make a difference just because about 1 million people show up to watch the rocket's red glare over that smelly pond? The deal this year is that I get to go with Freak, which Graham thinks is a good idea because she's afraid he'll get crushed or something. She actually thinks people are going to step on him, which just goes to show how brainless she can be sometimes, and scared of everything. I mean, nobody steps on little kids down there, so why should they step on Freak? Turns out the thing to worry about is not kid stompers, but beer swillers, like I mentioned before, because Freak and I are still a couple of blocks from the pond, just kind of easing our way along, when these punks start mouthing off. Hey you, Mutt and Jeff, Frankenstein and Igor. Don't look around, I'm talking to you, boneheads. What is this, a freak show? I know that voice. Tony D. They call him Blade. He's at least 17 and he's already been to juvie court 3-4 times. I heard he cut a guy with a razor. He almost died. And everybody says the best way to handle Tony D and his gang is you avoid them, cross the street, hide, whatever it takes. Yeah, you, he goes, and he's doing this hippity walk, strutting along. He's got these fancy cool cowboy boots with metal toes. Yeah, Andre the Giant and the Dwarf. Hold on a sec, I want a word with you. Only the way he talks, he goes, I want a word with ya. Except it's bad enough having to listen to the creep. I don't want to have to spell the dumb way he talks. Anyhow, big mistake. We stop and wait for Tony D, alias the Bad News Blade. Got any dudes? He asks, pretending like he's friendly. He's a couple of feet away, but you can smell the beer in his breath. Also, it smells like he ate something dead, for instance, roadkill. But maybe that's my imagination. Pay attention, Tony D says. I ask, did you got any? Freak, his chest is all puffed out and his chin looks hard, and he's looking right up at Tony D, and he says, got any what? Tony D has his hands on his hips, and his punkster pals are trying to get closer, working through the crowd. He leans over Freak and he says, boomers, you little freak. M80s. Maybe a rack of cherry bombs. Is that what's making a lump in your pocket, huh? Freak starts to hump himself away, trying to walk faster than he really can, which makes his leg brace bump against the ground. Come along, Maxwell, he says over his shoulder. Ignore the cretin. Blade goes, hey, what? And he moves right in front of Freak. Wanna say that again, little freak man? Freak says, cretin. C-R-E-T-I-N. Defined as one who suffers from mental deficiency. Hearing how little tiny Freak is dissing the fearsome Tony D, alias Blade, I can't help it. I laugh out loud. Tony D is looking up at me, and he's showing his white teeth. I swear they've been sharpened to look like vampire teeth. And I go, uh-oh, and start to get real cold inside. Real icy, because I can see that Blade is trying to make up his mind. Is he going to fight me, or is he just going to kill me quick? Just then, I hear the whoop of a siren, and like a miracle, this cop car comes out of nowhere, heading for the mill pond, and Blade takes one look, and he and his punks are out of there, burning rubber in their Reeboks. Freak goes, whew, that was a close encounter of the turd kind. And it takes me a second to get the joke, but then I'm laughing, amazed he can be so cool about it, like it was no big deal that Tony D was after us. You can take him, right? He asks a couple of minutes later. I go, are you kidding? You can't just fight Blade, you have to fight his gang, too. You mean, you couldn't take him, and I was giving him lip? That's about the size of it. Freak goes, "Oh my God." And he's shrieking and laughing and whooping it up so loud that everybody's looking at us like we're total goons, which isn't far from the truth. Freak hasn't got his crutch tonight, just the leg brace, and he's laughing so hard he falls down. Not that he has far to go. Anyhow, I pick him up and I'm amazed how light he is, like it's nothing for me to lift him. And maybe that's where I get the idea. Because later, when we're down by the pond and the first of the rockets is streaking up, 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 Freak is making a fuss because he can't see. There are so many people crowded around. All he can see are feet and knees. And people are lifting their little kids up to see the fireworks explode like hot pink flowers in the sky. And so I just sort of reach down without thinking and pick up Freak and set him on my shoulders. He's kind of trembly up there until he grabs hold of my hair to steady himself. And then the first really big rocket whams off a humongous thud I can feel in my stomach. And Freak is shouting, "All right." And I know it's okay. He's not flipped out because I picked him up and put him on my shoulders like he was a little kid instead of possibly the smartest human being in the whole world. "Magnesium," he shouts as the white sparkles glitter down over the pond. "Potassium chlorate," as the shells go womp, 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 and everybody goes, "Ooh." "Potassium nitrate, sulfur, aluminum." And after a burst of hot red fire in the sky, Freak tugs my hair and screams, "Copper! That's copper powder combusting with oxygen." And when the fire blossoms are flashing blue, he goes, "Good old strontium nitrate." And I'm thinking, whoa, is there anything this little dude doesn't know? At the end, like always, they have a thing they call the grand finale, when they just go nuts and let off everything at once. And it sounds like World War III, whizzing and banging and popping. And there's so much hot stuff falling from the sky, you can hear it sizzling in the pond. Freak keeps on shouting at the names of chemicals and elements until the last spark dies in that scummy pond and the crowd cheers. And then everybody tries to leave at once, like a bunch of morons.